Coming up on the show, it's the news that everyone is talking about. Brian Gorjan back in the NBL. We break all of that down. The Brisbane Bullets lock away one of their stars for next season. Good news for the Jack Jumpers ahead of Friday night. And should a Perth veteran go on next season? That's all to come on NBL Now. Wednesday the 6th of March, as always, great to be with you on NBL Now. I'm Jack Heverin, Derek Rucker, as always, alongside me for a Wednesday. Ruck, let's not mess around. Let's not do any sort of form of formalities. Let's just get straight to it. And that is that this morning at a press conference in Sydney, Brian Gorjan will be announced as coach of the Sydney Kings.
Jack, we covered so many Sydney games this season and we saw the problems they had and, you know, all types of rumors about what was going to be the coach's fate throughout the season. But about halfway through, I started realizing that this was a path for the Kings to kind of correct any problems that existed. Brian Gorjan's out there. He's the greatest coach in Australian basketball history, perhaps one of the top three coaches in Australian sporting history. This is an easy answer to what is ailing the Sydney Kings. Now, in terms of the rest of the league, I'd be in panic mode because let's break it down. There are six postseason spots, Jack. Melbourne United are going to get one. Perth or Tasmania are going to get the other. And now, based on Brian Gorjan's track record, I think he's made 23 straight Final Fours. He's getting the other. That's 50% of them gone. Guaranteed gone. This increases the competitiveness and it puts a lot of pressure on those other teams. But big applause to the Sydney Kings for realizing what they needed to do immediately and acting and getting it done.
Sometimes in these situations, Ruck, and you've worked in front offices and they can drag on. And sometimes it's the team who are dragging on just to show that, you know, that they're not a pushover kind of thing. I'm with you. I applaud the Sydney Kings for making a decision like they did late last week on Mahmoud Abdel-Fattah and then realizing that the best available coach is Brian Gorjan and going to get this done in what seems to be the space of 4 or 5 days.
And I think they did a good job of reading Brian Gorjan and understanding that he wanted to be in the NBL. And so for them to go out there and get it done, and I'm sure the T's and C's of the whole deal were not easy to navigate. So it's a great job by both parties, Brian as well, Brian being quite clear on what he wanted from his career. And now we just wait for the final details in terms of the length of the contract, because I think that will have a big say in what free agents or players currently on the roster decide to do if Brian shows that interest and willingness to continue to work with those players.
So this is the other part that I'm really interested in now is what does the Sydney Kings roster start to look like for next season? And the attractiveness of being coached by Brian Gorjan. Yes, he won't be the Boomers coach by the time the NBL season rolls around next September. But to be coached by one of the greatest of all time, Ruck, if you're a free agent in the market or an import who may have been here before, may have even worked under Brian Gorjan before, how attractive is that to potentially be coached by one of the greatest?
Well, let's talk about the player who was most missed this season by the Sydney Kings, Xavier Cooks. Okay, is he someone that may be interested now in returning to Sydney, coming back, figuratively speaking, to his home and continuing his NBL career here? We know he is getting paid well overseas, but perhaps he's willing to trade a little bit of income for the great life that we have here in Australia and the opportunity to play in a better league than he currently is in Japan. So he would be the number one target for me. Then you start looking around at some potential Australian free agents that are going to be out there. But I certainly think playing for Brian Gorjan would have been so appealing. I went through the process when I was leaving Townsville in 1998 and Brian was recruiting me. And let me tell you, saying no to him and going to West Sydney was one of the most difficult no's of my life.
I think that's going to be such a great watch over the next 5 to 6 weeks is what this Kings roster looks like. So that's all coming up today. Brian Gorjan to speak to the media for the first time returning as coach of the Sydney Kings after that incredible three-peat in the early 2000s. We'll talk more about that across the next couple of days on NBL Now. Ogun Ulich reporting on overtime last night that the Brisbane Bullets have taken up their option with Nathan Sobey, and he will return for the next NBL season. Your thoughts?
Well, it's an interesting one, right? Because, you know, only giving that 1 year, and I'm sure Nathan probably wanted a bit more security. Now, I don't know factually, I haven't spoken to him, but having been in that position, you know, players want security, especially in your 30s. But it's probably a little wait and see situation from the Bullets' perspective. There's a lot of things going up here. They're trying to shift headquarters. They have some great plans going on, and they're still establishing who they are under Justin Schuller. So I think it's a solid move from both parties. Nathan gets another year to show what he's capable of, stay healthy, and continue to try and improve as a basketball player within the constraints of what Justin Schuller is looking for. Brisbane don't get a sudden shock. The Brisbane community, that is, don't get a sudden shock in losing their superstar player. So it's another year. Let's bring it together. Let's see if we can improve the relationship and then look long-term after next season.
Do you think Nathan took some steps forward in terms of shot selection, his role under Justin Schuller? Do you think Justin Schuller has been a positive for Nathan Sobey?
I think he has, and I thought Nathan handled the coaching a lot better than I've seen him in the past. Obviously, he's a tremendous talent and athlete and someone whose physical athleticism is better than his age. So he's lasting, and he's going to show that ability to play into his late 30s, I believe, if he so desires. So I think it will be probably the best Nathan Sobey next year than we have seen in a long time. I thought he was good this year, but certainly not at the level that I believe he can get to. Also, though, Jack, and I've said this many times around Nathan Sobey, he's got to get better talent around him, and I think that will lift him as well. You know, some of the contributions from his teammates were streaky, patchy, and at times just not up to NBL standards. So I'm sure the Bullets will get that roster bolstered, and then that will help Nathan's performances as well.
Friday night, the Tasmania Jack Jumpers travel to RAC Arena to take on the Perth Wildcats in game one of their playoff series. I'm going to be there. I can't wait for this one. I spent a stack of time getting ready for this game yesterday. Great news for Tasmania at this stage, it seems, and that is that Marcus Lee could and should be available for Friday night. In the early stages of their qualifier game against Illawarra, went down with what looked like a really serious shoulder injury, and he sat on the bench for the rest of the game with his arm in a sling. Jack Jumper's suggesting that it's more of a pinched nerve type of a situation than any form of bone or muscular issue in that shoulder, and Marcus Lee might be right to go on Friday.
Well, the good thing for Marcus Lee is that he's not asked to do a lot of difficult things on the basketball court. His job is pretty simple. Protect the rim, run up and down the floor, rim the rim, set good screens, and rebound. So I think for 15 minutes, I'm pretty sure he can provide that. And as I said on the Coca-Cola cooldown, with the lift in performance from Will Magne, it takes a lot of pressure off other guys to have to perform out there on the floor. Everyone else is really able to lock into what they do well, and that's the case for Marcus Lee. Just give me 5 minutes, three minutes in the first half, 5 minutes, 2 minutes in the second half. Now we're up to 15 minutes. Magne plays his 25, and we're good to go. And on the other part of this, Jack, Tasmania are looking damn good. They can go into Perth and get this game. They are so finely tuned at the moment. It's a game that I cannot wait. And I love being here on the East Coast. I love the late night Perth games from RAC Arena. I wish it was a regular thing like the Sydney Kings did with the Sunday afternoon. There's nothing better than sitting down, listening to you call this game and just leading my Friday night into the weekend. It's fantastic. I cannot wait.
Six of their last seven, the Tasmania Jack Jumpers have won. They may very well be the informed team in the competition. I can't wait for this one on Friday night. Jesse Wagstaff will also be involved on Friday night. Now, he turns 38 next month. He's north now 450 games. He actually goes into Friday night. This will be his 59th playoff game, which takes him to equal 13 of all time alongside our man, the legendary Lenard Copeland. Should he go on next season, Ruck?
Of course he should, Jack. As long as his body is good, his mind is always sharp, and he played a vital role in reversing the team's fortunes back in October and November. When he came into the lineup, he started playing high minutes and the performance lifted. And then John really backed his minutes down once the wheel was rolling. But like Tom Abercrombie, I feel these guys have at least 2 years of good contribution and good presence and being good locker room guys. You know, it's really sad to see these guys want to go away. I understand it. And perhaps they have more to go in their life, but you know, I just wish they would hang around because it's such a valuable thing to have veterans on your bench, especially when you have next stars coming through who need that guidance and that understanding and the compassion that you develop as an older player, understanding what younger players are going through when they're just entering the competition.
He's the sort of guy, Ruck, that at some point in this series against Tasmania, he'll have a role to play. And it might just be a little 3 or 4 minute patch here or there. You know, the old Jesse Wagstaff, he might put someone on their back, or it might be a couple of pick and pop threes, whatever it may be. But you just feel like at some point, he'll have a big say on this series.
It's basketball wisdom, Jack. That's what you're alluding to. We saw it Monday night down in Illawarra. Tom Abercrombie played a really good role. Yeah. He knocked down some shots, and he was just smart. That team was down. That team was on the verge of getting blown out. But I'm sure he helped rally the troops. Joe Healy said he was quite vocal in timeouts. And those are the things you lose. And when those guys go away, somebody's got to fill that void. And these are special guys in the history of the NBL. They're both over 400 games. They're both multi-championship winners. You just don't go pluck those guys out of free agency.
Tomorrow, we're going to have a big deep dive into Melbourne United and Illawarra. Just your thoughts from an Illawarra perspective, Ruck. You saw them up close on Monday night. It is a bit of a short turnaround, but they are taking on a Melbourne team who haven't played for the best part of 3 weeks.
Illawarra are playing regularly at the moment, and they haven't been great, but they've done enough to get themselves to where they are now in a three-game series matchup against Melbourne United. And it's a team I'm sure they feel confident against. And Jack, I don't mean to be corny here, but if they just win one game in this series,
yeah,
it will be like reaching the grand final. If they can get one game off of Melbourne United, I think they can put their hands up and say that was a fantastic season. Conversely, had they lost Monday night to New Zealand, that would have been extremely disappointing and kind of mitigated the success of everything they did to get to that position. So they handled their business Monday night. Now they get to advance. Now, for the first time, we've been throwing this term around house money all postseason.
Yeah.
I think now this is the first time a team is truly playing with house money. But stealing one game off of Melbourne United would complete their season, in my opinion. Now, Justin Tatum's probably going to yell at me when I see him Thursday night for making this comment.
Well, you took on PJC, so he could be your next challenge, Justin Tatum. He might be the next one on the list. Hey, to finish off, just a quick one on Patty Mills. We've kind of kept an eye on him on this show over the last few weeks. Overnight has signed at Miami for the remainder of the season, so he should get a look at postseason in the NBA. The Heat have got some injuries that they've got to deal with as well. So it looks like Patty should get some court time, which is the most important thing to him right now ahead of the Olympics. What happens after that, though?
Well, Jack, let's talk quickly. I just want to touch on the Atlanta Hawks situation. And Quinn Snyder's my man, played against Quinn, great dude. But that Atlanta guard rotation is a mess with Trae Young and DeJounte Murray. They can't figure it out. And I think Patty Mills became a poor byproduct of that, where, you know, they're trying to figure out if this is Trae's team, but what if we don't have Trae? And let's see what it looks like as DeJounte is the lead guy when Trae is hurt. And there was never a role for Patty there. So I'm glad that he's gone to Miami, where they understand the value in using veterans like Patty and a guy who can still shoot the ball effectively. He's 38% from the three. 38% is always effective. Patty's got playoff experience. He's a championship winner. We know he loves a big game. Okay. After this season, if he has a good postseason with Miami, he's going to get picked up. However, say Miami don't get it done. There's a perfect landing spot for him with the Sydney Kings. That's where he belongs. I mentioned before, the Kings should be targeting Zave Cooks. And if you can bring Patty Mills into that mix, Jack, how much different does that whole program look in just a matter of months? And not only, you're just not getting a marquee name just to have his name. Patty can still ball. And in the NBL, in a league in which small guards and shooters get it done and impact teams' chances positively, Patty would be perfect in our league. It's not physically demanding on his body. He doesn't have to go to the EuroLeague and deal with all that mess trying to train you 2-3 times a day. So that's how I see it. Obviously, I want Patty to continue to fulfill his career ambition of playing in the NBA as long as he can, but it would be fantastic if we could get him back in the NBL. Plus, Jack, he's made $81 million USD. Patty, how much more money do you need? Come on home, my man.
I think he's got plenty. I don't think he needs to worry about how the rent and how the bread and the milk are being paid for next week. I think he's covered on that respect. Watch this space. But the big story of today, as we said off the top, is Brian Goorjian doing a press conference in the middle of the morning today to be announced as the new coach of the Sydney Kings. We'll have it all for you on NBL Now. Ruck, enjoy tomorrow night in Melbourne. We'll catch you on the cool down after the game.
Sure thing, Jack.
Thanks for being with us on NBL Now. Tomorrow, we take a big look at the Melbourne and Illawarra series with Pete Hawley.